Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode 11. On a very special episode, we remember Club Nintendo. To 3D or not to 3D, that is the question, and Zach has a rant. Nintendo sales information, fan questions, and our live $10 eShop giveaway, plus so much more on tonight's episode. Zach, as always, could you please, sir, cue the music.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson. This is January the 21st, 2015, and joining me for more Nintendo goodness this evening is Justin Masson. How are you doing, Justin?
I am doing well, sir. It is Wednesday. We are here live. I'm excited to be here. And it's a great week and lots of awesome, really interesting news to talk about. So I'm excited to dive right in.
Yeah, we were talking about before the show, like, we thought that, you know, there'd be this lull of news a week after a Nintendo Direct. Such is not the case, and to help us bring it in is Jesse Waldack. How you doing tonight, Jesse?
Yeah, good. Nintendo has showered us with plenty of press release for us to dissect and share.
The press release fairy, as it were, has graced our presence. Awesome.
I would like to see what the press release fairy looks like. I feel
he looks like Reggie.
Cranky. Yeah, a little begrudgingly cranky man who's got like a cigar. What do you want?
Reggie. He's Reggie with fairy wings.
I'm imagining like whatever that the Rock movie, like the Tooth Fairy. It's like Reggie instead and just bringing...
Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. That's exactly the
Dwayne Johnson playing Reggie Fils-Aimé in the press release fairy. There we go. Come in 2016, everybody. Probably wow. In some sort of like February, March window for movies because
I think we already have our
movies.
Title.
We're like we're a minute 30, in, man. We're like
30 seconds in and we have a title.
There you go.
Good job, guys.
So, all right. Somebody out there, Photoshop for us. Actually, you know, as ridiculous as it might sound, Dwayne The Rock Johnson as Reggie in a movie does not seem that ridiculous. I don't know why. But anyway, we're going to move straight into what you've been playing. All right, let's get real here for a minute, folks. Last week we talked about a game that was coming out for the Wii U and 3DS and every other platform pretty much, I think, from Atlus, and I believe the developer is Eden Industries, called Citizens of Earth. Now, Jesse, I know that you had just downloaded it or are going to download it soon. Justin, you did not express any real interest in this game.
No, I haven't, but I am getting comfortable to listen to you jump into this rant. I am getting into a warm blanket of of comfort because this is going to be awesome.
I don't want to overhype it too much, but I feel really passionately about this, and we've talked about it before with regards to Pokemon.
See,
but
Nintendo's download press releases always comes out Thursday morning, so I completely missed that game launched yesterday.
Yeah, so it is because it's a multi-platform release, and that's just the rest of the gaming industry does it on a Tuesday, and Nintendo's eShop stuff usually is on a Thursday. I think it did take some people by surprise. But I came into this, and I've said before on this show, I prefer playing my games on handheld versus on a console, and so I opted to buy Citizens of Earth on 3DS instead of Wii U. And so I downloaded the game, and I'll start off with the positives, I guess. I'm probably about 2 hours into this game, maybe a little bit less. And so far, the comparisons to Earthbound are not unfounded. You know, it's very clearly paying homage to Earthbound and to those sort of traditional RPGs that are based in a sort of, you know, fantasy-esque, idealized version of American society. You know, it's like this very much sort of little town where everybody's walking around. You play, the main character is the vice president of the world, or I think it's what it is, vice president of the earth or something. But basically, you go around town and you can collect different followers by doing little missions and stuff, and they fight your battles for you. So, as far as the battle system goes, I saw some reviews that were really down on the battle system. I actually quite enjoy it. It's not too bad. It has a cool sort of resource mechanic that is actually reminiscent of some MMOs that I've played, especially World of Warcraft, where certain abilities increase your resource of energy, and then you have other abilities that are more powerful that use that resource. So you're doing some attacks to build up resources to do other attacks, and it's pretty cool that way. I actually really enjoy that, the battle system and the sort of mechanic there. It's very sort of simple as well. You know, your different characters have different moves, and you know, so you've got like the baker who's able to beat people up, but also is able to feed, you know, pastries to your other team members to heal them and stuff like that. I really enjoy.
So he's the paladin.
Yeah, exactly. Right, the baker's the paladin. Right, and so, wow. And he's like this. Another thing
that's
about the game. Another thing about the game is that there is a ton of voiceover in it. Some of it's not that good. Some of it's kind of charming. You cannot go into this game thinking you're getting Earthbound 2. It is different. It's its own thing. It's clearly drawing some sort of stuff from that. But having said all that, I am really enjoying the game. But the transition to the 3DS was not kind to this game, and it was very much two things. First of all, and I'll get to my rant in a second about 3D. But first of all, have you ever taken an image in Photoshop or something and then shrunk it down clearly too small, where the edges are blurry and you lose that detail, but you never, you know what I'm talking about there, where mm-hmm. the image mm-hmm. is clearly yep. compressed? You get that look in this game quite a bit, specifically with the character art in the overworld. You see, I notice it all the time, where it's not clean edges. It's really muddy. And usually in that situation, what happens is that developers will play with 3D, and it will actually just have this, at least my experience is that it really sharpens the image. And that's the other big thing about this game, is there's zero 3D at all, which I've talked about before. It is not okay. I don't know why. Like, for some games, yes, I think it's okay to not have the 3D, but this is not one of those games that, I mean, especially in the battles, you know, Jesse talking about that Earthbound style, you know, with how hard would it have been to have the sprites overlaid on a recessed background and have that sort of psychedelic pattern in the background?
That wouldn't be difficult at all, I would imagine.
Yeah, right?
I'm sure they have an API to make that easy.
Yeah, and so I really don't understand this trend with certain, you know, the 3DS is created with a very specific sort of experience in mind. Granted, not everybody uses it, but I think moving forward in the new 3DS, people are going to use it more and people will expect it more. And maybe this is a little bit on Nintendo for you know, de-emphasizing the 3D leading up to the new 3DS, where they didn't really want to talk about it because it kind of sucked on the regular 3DS. You know, for a lot of people, I personally found a way to enjoy it myself, and I use it all the time, but most of the people don't. But man, let me tell you, like, turning that on and just seeing this muddy image and having no depth on a system that characteristically and sort of by habit, I'm sitting down to enjoy this sort of experience that depth creates. It's really quite jarring. And if I were, not that I necessarily do video game scores when doing these reviews, but it usually, like, as far as the diminishment of my enjoyment of a game on that system, I feel like it knocks it like an entire point out of 10 in those sorts of situations, where it's like, wow, this is such a missed opportunity, and it's so important for that platform that I really don't get it at all. It drives me crazy. And I think part of it as well is that, you know, I said this on Twitter, part of what my grandpa told me back in the day, you know, and growing up, is that if anything that is worth doing well. And I feel like when they skip it, it's different. Like in Pokemon, for example, that particular engine was chugging as it was, you know, and so anytime you kick it into 3D, the engine is literally not, the hardware is not capable of doing it. This is a 2D sprite-based game. It is not pushing the hardware very hard, and there is really no reason other than crunch deadlines and not having their crap together enough to have this done well on the system. So if this is something that you want to have on a handheld, then that's the reason to do it. Don't be doing it because you're expecting to get 3D, because you're not going to get it, and that sort of situation there. So
Yeah, and I think, you know, the interesting part, Zach, about kind of your statement is, and I think we saw this on Twitter, and Winslow Hall made the comment to you on Twitter saying, like, hey, are they expected to design a game just specifically, you know, with 3D in it as well? You know, his point was, you know, he's just kind of happy that it's here. And then a lot of ways it does scratch that Earthbound itch, some fundamentals of it. And we're seeing that a lot through the Metacritic scores as well, is that, you know, and you even mentioned it, the homage to Earthbound. So, you know, it's not Nintendo's issued Earthbound, but at least you're kind of scratching those things. So I think it's a really great point, Zach, that you've just got to kind of know what you're going to get when you're going into it and whether 3D is a huge thing for you or not. My question to you is, you mentioned the pixels kind of being compressed and changing. Do you think that's the processor in your 3DS working harder than it should be? Or like, is it old software versus new, or sorry, old hardware versus new software?
No, issue? No, I don't think so. I think it's literally the fact that they did not create, or not even necessarily that you have to create all new assets, but just that they literally took the file that they used on the Wii U and shrunk it down in Photoshop, and it blurred the heck out of the image. And then they popped it into the game anyways, and they didn't go in and touch it up or anything. So I think
what you wanted to say with creating new assets is exactly what they should have done.
Yeah, it seems like they've taken something that is intended to be on a big screen TV, and they've shrunk it down onto the 3DS, where it's a whatever 480 resolution maybe. I don't even think it's 480 on the top screen. I don't know, but you know, something that has shrunk down so much, and they haven't done any effort to polish that to make that transition more appealing. So having said all of that, though, so, like, I really enjoy it. I'm having a lot of fun with the game. Yeah. And once you get into the game, it's still really fun. But man, I think, you know, and maybe this is more the 3DS is just starting to show its age. You know, I'm sure game like this would look really great on the Vita. So I don't know.
Zach, do you think you would give it a different rating or score if you had solely downloaded this on the Wii U? Because this is cross-platform. You can buy it on a Wii U or you can buy it on 3DS. If you had just bought it on the Wii U, do you think your level of enjoyment or where you'd be with your rating scale would be different?
My expectations going in would be different, I think, is the difference. You know, the expectations is anytime I buy a game on the eShop, I expect that it's going to be in 3D. It's on the 3DS. It's a 3D screen. And until very recently, I think Pokemon was the first one that really did this. Maybe there were some others, but the first big one was with it. It suddenly was okay to not do 3D in the game.
The remake of the Shin Megami Tensei Devil's Survivor,
wasn't that a DS port though?
Yeah, it was originally DS and then ported to 3DS. That was pretty much not. The overall gameplay was not in 3D, but they did add 3D effects to the demon fusions.
Mm-hmm.
They did a little bit, but not much.
And I realized that like in a situation like that, what I'm asking is for them to do something for a small percentage of the audience that uses the 3D, but at this end, you know, how much work is it? I get all of that. I understand. But that
Overclocked was still a full retail $40 release. Mm-hmm. It wasn't it wasn't a $20 title.
Yeah. And so I realize that I'm asking a lot for them to do that, but I feel like, again, if it's worth doing, if it's worth porting to the 3DS, then it's worth taking that little bit of extra effort to make it, you know, optimized for that system. And otherwise, yes, anybody who picks it up on that system is getting a less than ideal experience.
It sounds like it was probably just a time shaver because they released it on five platforms on the same day.
Yeah.
It's on PS4, Vita, Wii U, 3DS, and Steam.
Yeah, and from what I understand, I mean, I saw the review at NintendoWorldReport.com, and their review didn't have a score because it was buggy on the Wii U when they played it. So, I don't know. It's kind of like the game got delayed a bunch and then it still has issues as well. But I mean, there's such a great game underneath that I'm really enjoying so far. And I mean, I'll probably give a little bit more of an update, but that's basically my gist of it so far. Just know what you're getting going in, but the sort of underlying gameplay is really fun, sort of traditional RPG, in that sort of Earthbound-esque, world. And it's really fun. I'm going to have a lot of fun going around and trying to do all of the little recruiting missions to get all the different followers. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So, yeah. Moving on, Jesse, what have you been playing this week?
Yeah, well, I know you guys wanted to limit it to one game, but I do have two I want to talk about, but they'll be quick.
Okay.
First game is this weekend there was a sale on PSN. So there was a game that I heard about called Danganronpa Trigger Happy Havoc. That was was released, I think, late 2013. For $40, and I was waiting for a sale, so it was down to $20, so I picked it up. It's an NIS America game, which is even more niche than Atlas games, if you believe that. Yeah. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with NIS, but they're a weird developer. It's a not kid-friendly game, but the premise is that you are an average student who gets stuck in a high school of uber elite students, and everyone gets kidnapped and forced to be in this school where the only way out is to kill another student and not get caught.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have heard about this. Yeah, it seems so really interesting, but also like totally not my slice of cheese, if you will, but I mean that's not a reason not.
Yeah, so it's very Japanese anime, which is my thing, but
yeah, totally.
So I'm only an hour into it, so I'm still getting the baseline story in line. So I hope to get some more time into that sometime this week. And the other game I've been playing is the Super Mario Galaxy 2. As I picked that up for the $10 yesterday. Which also means Punch-Out should be available now for $10. If not today, it should be out tomorrow.
It should be out tomorrow morning, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I'm going to probably pick that up too after thinking about it. But so I've gotten about 3 hours into Galaxy 2, and I know this because I've been streaming the entire gameplay and then pushing it to my YouTube channel. So the entire gameplay is well documented. So I'm like 18 stars in.
And is it living up to your long past memory of this?
It's fun.
This classic.
Yeah, like it's playing a 480i game on a 1080p display. It really shows its age.
Oh, really?
And even though, yeah, it's noticeable and stuff. You didn't notice it when you played it on the Wii, because every Wii game was like that. You notice it. You know, Mario's face isn't this nice round thing. You can see the lines.
Oh no!
Supposed to make the curve, so it's kind of annoys me from time to time, just because I'm used to, you know, I played New Super Mario U, I played 3D World, at least played a little bit of Smash, I played a little bit of the Treasure Tracker, so I've been playing all these HD games for the last 2 years, going back to this 5 or 6 year old game in 480. I or 480p, ouch, it kind of hurts.
Yeah, but, I think that what you're pointing at may be a big part of the reason why they have jumped straight to Wii games, and why we may see a little bit of a delay on the Nintendo 64 and the GameCube games is for that exact reason.
Well, this GameCube had the same resolution.
Yeah.
They ran a 480i as well, but N64 definitely was a lower resolution than that.
Yeah, so I like.
Yeah, you can run an N64, as I said before, you can run an N64 game on a Wii and it still looked like garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Well, right on, man. I'm excited. Again, that's that program that they've got going on with that is really exciting, and I'm eagerly awaiting Metroid Prime Trilogy coming next week. So very, very cool. Awesome. Let's round it out with Justin. What have you been playing?
I have been playing. I have been playing Super Smash Brothers for the Wii U,
and I've been playing it, you have.
I've been playing it online.
Because we know you're not playing it on 3DS.
Oh
yeah,
man!
Exactly right. So I've been playing online before, but this time I actually played it online, like meeting up with friends. So Zach and I met up with his brother. And played online this weekend, and we played a little bit earlier in the week, I think Thursday as well, Zach, I believe.
Yeah.
And I have never claimed that I am, like, the best Smash player, but I got owned by you and your brother. Like, it was ridiculous.
He is so much better. He's better than I am at that game too. Like, it's crazy. And it's a lot of fun, man.
And it was really funny because I didn't know who the person was, Zach, because I had my cell phone with me when you text me that this is, you know, this is my brother you're playing with, or we're playing with. But just watching you guys battle was pretty awesome. The one thing that I kind of really, there's a feature in it I like, and I like the fact that you can have a battle, and you can record it and you can save it. Mm-hmm. And I actually had a fight, Zach, when I was fighting with you and your brother, it was like, it was never close. I was always third, and I was always like dead wicked early and just watched you two fight. But I had a fight with another one of my friends, Russell, a couple hours before you and I had met on Thursday. And we had like a really close match, like a match that win or lose, it was just a beautiful match, some great moves, everyone had a good time. And so I captured and recorded it. Like you can download it, the file.
You can save the save
replay.
You can
save it, and you can then like replay and grab photos. But the thing I realized that I hadn't even really thought of is I was disappointed I could not export it to YouTube.
Yeah, totally. Especially after Mario Kart 8, right?
Which is exactly what you could do after Mario Kart 8. And I really didn't realize it, but I was like, man, like these are some, like there's some great video footage in here that I would love to just put up and be like, hey, you know, here's me and my friend Russ having an awesome Toon Link and Kirby battle. And it was epic. And you kind of wanted to share that. And I took a moment and reflected and I thought, that felt like a bit of a step backwards after seeing
what
they had done with Mario Kart 8. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm really hoping that maybe when they do this patch
for capture cards.
Yeah, right? I'm really hoping that when they do this patch for Super Smash that includes the tournaments and everything else, that maybe this is something they're going to sneak in there. But that's what I've been playing. Another thing I've just downloaded, but I haven't really dove in too much, was Pushmo. And I believe actually, Zach, this was off of your recommendation for the Wii U. It was on sale this week, so I got it for like $7 in the eShop. So,
oh, awesome.
Yeah, I'll have more to report on that soon. But yeah, Smash Brothers, playing online with friends. Not as easy as it is to play with online like it is like Mario Kart with friends, and Zach owned me. So.
Yeah, I've got the very first match that we ever that we played. It was literally less than a minute long. I was like, oh, man, saving that one.
Work. Yeah.
And another thing to kind of go on to what you're saying as well, Justin, about the YouTube, I think part of the reason why they do that is because and I remember this on the 3DS version when they did a balance patch, it actually broke all of everybody's replays, because basically when it saves the replays, what it's doing is it's not saving a video, it's actually saving all of the inputs from each player, and so it literally replays the battle using that input information. It's not saving a video. So they would have to basically create that video before they could export it. And so I think that's maybe part of the reason why we're seeing that problem and the lack of the upload capability. But I still totally agree. I like after a couple of those, I'm like, man, that'd be awesome. I want to you know. And so like you literally are in the situation where you've either got to have capture hardware, or you've got to have you know, your phone hovered over the gamepad as you replay the video or something, right? Which is way less than ideal, and it doesn't make a good upload at all. So
yeah, we're gonna definitely have to set up some time with Jesse, you and I in both Mario Kart and Smash, and get it up on our Twitch stream, so that people can see how horrible I am at this game.
Totally, you
know, you're probably better than I.
Right on. Okay, well, let's keep moving on here to the news. The news. First up, what we have is we're going to go through a little bit of this Nintendo press release stuff. I think that's first on the docket, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Okay, so Jesse and Justin, you guys have had a little bit more time to look over these numbers than I have. Why don't one of you guys kind of walk us through? Basically, this is the sales number from December, right? We were kind of wondering how the holidays had been. It seemed like they were doing pretty decent. November, I think, just as a recap, I think they were about 10%. Higher sales for hardware in November of last year. So we thought, oh, well, that's not quite as good as we were hoping, but, you know, especially since last year was, saying last year, meaning 2013, was not particularly that great for them either. And so what did Nintendo look like in December 2014? Jesse.
Yes. So this was a press release that Nintendo put out, from January 15th. And they say that December 2014 was actually Nintendo's biggest sales month ever, including both hardware and software. And I think that this shouldn't be a big shock, as we'd seen this shift in momentum building. I think this is, you know, Nintendo began to get some more of their first party exclusives in their bank, and they were starting to build some momentum. I thought that was great. There's some really interesting numbers, and Jesse, we can maybe extract these as we're going through that. But in 2014, they actually had a 29% increase in hardware sales over last year, which is huge. Now, they're not dividing this hardware into 3DS or into Wii U, just hardware sales overall. So again, it's a growing trend for Nintendo. They also saw
in the past, they have mentioned that the 3DS sales were down. I think a lot of it is because of with the new 3DS out in Japan and Australia in October and December, people knew the new one was coming here, so they didn't buy anything and they're waiting. So I think most of this increase is Wii U.
Yeah,
especially
yeah,
with that's what I would Kart expect Smash too. Yeah. Coming out.
Yeah, I would.
Those are the games people have been waiting for.
Yeah, I would definitely expect that, but again, they didn't break those down. 75% increase in software sales over last year, and I don't think that's a huge shock. You know, we saw some great lineups, you know, starting at Donkey Kong Country, Mario Kart 8, Bayonetta, Hyrule, Smash, Captain Toad. We've got Smash for the DS. We've got Omega Ruby and Sapphire, right? So,
and a lot of eShop exclusives, like NES Remix 1 and 2.
Yeah. So, again, I think, you know, we'd all felt like it was going well, but this is a great evidence of 75% increase in software sales from last year. I thought these numbers were very interesting. Super Smash Bros. For 3DS surpassed 2 million units over 3 months. And I think that's pretty good, right? So this is, we're talking about that launching in middle of October, 2 million units in 3 months. You flip that coin and compare that to Pokemon Omega Ruby and Pokemon Alpha Sapphire. I don't know what Alpha Sapphire.
I was just going to leave you hanging there and stumbling over that.
Spanky Mason.
Yeah, way to go, guys. Sapphire sold
our gang.
2.6 million units over 6 weeks. So I think that's a huge statement. Again, Pokemon, 2.6 million over
still
6 weeks.
Still a thing, man.
Yeah, still a huge thing. And again, I think we see that in the Nintendo Direct that they just recently had as well, right? We saw Pokemon Shuffle. We saw something else Pokemon related.
Oh, dang it. Wow.
That was the free-to-play.
Yeah, that was Shuffle.
That was Shuffle.
Everybody get shuffling, shuffling. There's something.
I'll look it up. Keep going.
Direct. All right.
Yeah, I forgot too.
Yeah, so Pokemon's still a thing that apparently does, like, make bank for them, which isn't a huge shock.
No.
Right? We had Roger's Base on, you know, very early in our podcast, and he talked about just his love for Pokemon in the crowd that's still out there. So, Jesse, what were your thoughts on these two numbers, this Super Smash Brothers 2 million in 3 months versus Pokemon 2.6 in 6 weeks?
Well, not really surprised, because I know a lot of people who owned Wii U's and 3DS's decided to wait until the Wii U launch and just skip the 3DS altogether, figuring that the Wii U would be the superior game. And if we found out, yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they were right.
Yeah, that's a great point for that too, Jesse, is the kind of holding out part.
If Wii U got pushed into 2015 for some reason and 3DS was the only thing that they had, I think we might have seen more sales with that.
Yeah, I suspect that once the Wii U version came out, they saw a significant drop in sales for the 3DS version for Super Smash Bros. As well, Pokemon is only really playable on the 3DS. So if that's not there, then that's just a thing that, you know, that's the only place to play it. Not to mention the fact that there's two versions of it, and some people are crazy and buy both versions. That's just how they roll, so... Yeah. I definitely think it's...
Gotta catch them all.
Yeah, gotta catch them all the versions. So, and looking at this too, they could, moving on down the list, sales of Super Smash Brothers, or of Mario Kart on the Wii U, 1.7 million is what they're at up to date, and then Super Smash Brothers for Wii U, 1.3 million units. That's just North American region and includes physical and digital sales. So, both of them are doing really well. The thing that's crazy is Amiibo figures are now almost twice what Super Smash Bros. For Wii U sold.
So we're looking at about 2.5 million units.
Yeah, which is nuts. That is a ton of Amiibo. And I think that there's probably a much smaller segment of that purchasing base, it's not the word I wanted to use, but that sort of customer base that is buying all of them, buying one of each, and then you're going to see some who I'll buy one or two, or a lot of people aren't interested at all. So you're definitely seeing that there. But I mean, on average, two figures for every person that's buying Smash Brothers. So yeah, so far so good. It's been, no wonder they're having a hard time keeping up with demand there.
Yeah, and that's not a huge shock. And I think the interesting story that we kind of stepped over a moment there, Zach, was Mario Kart sold over 1.7 million units. So again, that came out in the end of May, all the way to the end of the year, 1.7 million. Smash's window was 1.6, and it did it in 6 weeks, essentially.
Yeah.
Right?
No, very good point.
Yeah. That figure right there, when everyone's like, well, why did they keep doing, or why was Smash delayed? Why was it the end of the year? Why was it November? That's why. Mm-hmm. Because Smash definitively for 2014 was Nintendo's heavy hitter. No doubt about it. And I think when you think of, well, Mario Kart is a great game, everybody wants it. Yes, but you look at comparatively the numbers, Smash is the one that just, from just the units sold, is making more and would be on track to make more.
And right? I think it would be a bigger disaster if they made a crappy Smash Brothers game versus if they made a crappy Mario Kart game. Yeah. Mario Kart is going to sell regardless of if it's a 7.5 or an 8.5 or a 9.5. It doesn't matter. It's going to sell anyways. But if that Smash Brothers game sucks, the competitive scene will not pick it up and it will not sell nearly as well. So, I totally agree. Very cool.
And just for an interesting stat, I took the Amiibo sales numbers.
Sorry, go ahead, Jesse.
I think we've got some kind of lag going on.
All right. How about now? We good?
I think we got some lag going on.
Yep, we do. All right. Hang on.
And
we're back. Okay, thanks, Skype. That break brought to you by Skype. All right, what were we saying?
Nice. We were actually bringing it over to Jesse, and we were talking about, and this is called stalling.
We were talking about what, so far, what are the numbers looking like for you, Jesse? We were just talking about Amiibos and Smash Brothers and Mario Kart. Anything else on this particular press release sticking out to you that we haven't covered so far?
Yeah, well, they said the top five best-selling handheld titles were all released on the Nintendo 3DS family of systems.
Which is basically just a dig at Sony, right?
Well, it doesn't necessarily mean they were exclusive. They could have been like the first game you talked about, mm-hmm. where it was released on everything. Or it could have been on something like Conception 2 that was on Vita and 3DS.
Right.
So they had a 3DS presence. So every game in that top 15 list had a Nintendo presence, which is kind of impressive.
Yeah.
And Nintendo's hoping to ride this wave of momentum into 2015, and then they list the laundry list of games coming out, which we already know about. We talked about them all last week.
It's interesting that they put Yoshi's Woolly World in that list. I don't know if you noticed that. So they got Splatoon, Yoshi's Woolly World, Kirby and the Rainbow Curse, Codename Steam, Mario Party 10, Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask 3D, and the release of the new Nintendo 3DS XL. So Yoshi's Woolly World is listed among the Q1, Q2 lineup. Specifically, it looks like, Splatoon's in there, so Q2. But, I mean, where do you think Yoshi's Woolly World fits into all that?
That list doesn't necessarily mean in the first half of the year. It's just somewhere in 2015.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Although to your observation, Zach, a lot of that is the Q1, Q2 lineup that we just heard.
Everything is, right? So Splatoon is May.
Yeah.
Kirby's in February, March.
With the exception of Yoshi's, I think every game mentioned we talked about last week from the Direct.
Yeah, so yeah, exactly. I guess my point is that I feel like Yoshi's Woolly World may be one of those games that we just haven't heard much from yet, that may be launching.
That might be the Q3 game.
It could even be launched. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that they launched two games simultaneously. I wouldn't be surprised if it was launched alongside Splatoon. As a second game, they're aiming at different markets and different demographics, and I wouldn't be surprised if both of them are launched on the same day. That's just that's my guess for right now. But
and then the last bullet that I think we walked over is this says 16 3DS titles sold at least 250,000, of which 8 of those sold more than 500,000, and of those, 3 of them sold more than 1,000,000.
Do we know what the three that have sold more than 1,000,000? Obviously, Pokemon is one of them.
Smash is the other.
Pokemon Smash, and Smash.
And Tomodachi is... I remember hearing Tomodachi kind of sold ridiculous numbers, too, so I don't know.
That I don't know. Anyway,
and
so
Tomodachi was earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like summerish. Yeah. I know my daughter wanted it for her birthday, and I don't think she put much of time into it after I bought it.
It's pretty ridiculous. It's a fun game. It was my runner-up for 3DS Game of the Year.
So I kind of did some number crunching, just using the games mentioned here, you know, the Smash Brothers on both systems numbers, the Pokemon numbers, the Mario Kart numbers, and then that nonsense about 16 titles sold at least 250,000, and the Amiibo numbers, guessing around 2.5 million, and just those alone, that makes the revenue for last year at 750 million, which is kind of impressive for just the North American region. Mm-hmm. And of course, that doesn't include the Bayonetta, all the eShop. You know, yeah. So I'm sure it's a lot more than that, but it's a
they're doing pretty good.
A lot
of
revenue to squeeze into one press release.
Absolutely. I remember seeing something earlier this week that maybe we can just talk about for a second. It was actually today. I wish I would have saved it. Maybe I did. I'll look it up. But basically, an analyst essentially talking about why. Oh, you know what? It was the former. Dang it. The former Dan Adelman. Here we go. Here's the thing. Dan Adelman.
The former indie kind of spokesman for Nintendo.
Yeah. The headlines being that he believes that third party developers skip Nintendo platforms as they don't think they can compete. Basically, the quote was basically, it really comes down to the business case. For the business case for the publishers, Nintendo consumers buy Nintendo systems primarily for the first-party content. There's a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy in that the publishers feel that they can't compete with Nintendo first-party, so they choose not to invest in making high-quality products for the platform. How do you guys feel about that? Just as a sort of piggybacking off this sort of the investor, you know, sort of briefing and what their sales numbers were, do you feel like that is a legitimate... not necessarily that it's a good reason not to do it, because I think somebody who were to come to the Nintendo platforms with something that was really awesome, people would latch onto it. You know, Bayonetta's a perfect example, although it was published by Nintendo, but it wasn't developed by them. You know, do you feel like that? Do you think that that's pretty spot on? I personally feel like he's describing me.
They've been saying the same thing since about 2008 with the Wii. Mm-hmm. The Wii also had the same problem. You know, third-party games would be made for it and still like garbage because it's up against the Mario and the Zelda and the Metroid and whatever. So they would say it's not worth trying because we know it's not going to sell well. Though the DS did have a pretty, I recall them having a decent third party lineup as well.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Justin?
Yeah, I read this article today, and this is actually the first time it actually kind of changed my vision or view of how I was looking at third parties. Typically, I just thought of it like, okay, well, Ubisoft, you're in a lot of ways, I'm going to be honest, I felt like, okay, well, Ubisoft, you're just being lazy, right? You're saying it's too difficult, or you're not designing it for the specs of the system, and you're just trying to port things over and get away with it easier, and that you're not really spending your time, due diligence, and love creating a game for the system that works for the system, but you're just trying to make ports and increase your profit margins. But this statement of, I can't compete against first-party platform games,
it really got me thinking. Because they're so dang good, right?
Because they're so dang good, and that you know the brand, right? Mm-hmm. You know the brand, you trust the brand, and I think even when we talk about this, am I going to go, you know, so I go and buy Captain Toad, $40, $40 game, $45 game, or I go and buy Assassin's Creed Unity, and I put it in the machine, and it's broken instantly, mm-hmm. and the patch isn't working, and it's being pushed. But I put Captain Toad in, and I don't have to download a patch. I can just start playing, and it's comfortable, and it's fun. And you know what? Nintendo games are like a warm blanket that you wrap yourself in and you get lost in and are comforting and are like just video games for the soul that we all grew up on.
You just got really, really sort of like deep here all of a sudden.
Yeah, I know, right?
No, but I know what you're saying.
Another thing I was thinking of is, does Sony and Microsoft even have first-party developers anymore?
Well, I mean, they publish
other third-party, like a second-party type of release, but do they have in-house developers anymore? I don't hear anything.
I think so. Like, if they've got their own stuff, they must, you know, and again, I think the difference between first and second-party is sometimes difficult. Some of those situations, because
even if it is first party, they still name the team something, so it sounds like a third party developer. So I don't know.
Yeah,
and I'm in a game journalism, and I still don't know.
Yeah, and it's
that's wrong.
Yeah, so I think going to what you guys are both saying, I think you know the challenge for Nintendo is like, what do? We've got to have more than we can't support this entirely on our own, and so we kind of have seen, Dan Anelman kind of closed out the article here saying, for Nintendo to break this cycle, I think they need to invest and absorb some of the risk for third parties who try to embrace the features of Nintendo platforms and help communicate to consumers which games are on par with Nintendo first-party games in terms of quality.
You know how Nintendo is mitigating that risk? Is their investment in the indie scene. That's how they're mitigating their risk in that.
And I think another thing that they do with that as well is that we've seen quite a bit of is that instead of inviting people to just publish whatever, instead they're going out to parties to third parties and being like, hey, I'm drawing a blank, who did Hyrule Warriors.
Not Platinum.
No. Koei.
Yeah. Yeah. Koei, hey, Koei. Like, why don't you guys, make a Zelda game? Feel free to make a Zelda game. Go for it. We would love for you to make a Zelda game. Hey, Atlas, why don't you make a Shin Megami Tensei Cross Fire Emblem game? We would love that. And so that's, I think, what we're seeing them do. And so again, it's that sort of thing. Like, are you in the in scene? Are you like part of our little club that we've invited you as well? It's interesting. I don't know what the answer is. I just thought that was a really interesting point. And it's definitely something that you've definitely got to bring the quality when you come to the platform, because that's, I think, a little bit more of expectation from gamers on a Nintendo platform. So anyway, very cool. Thank you guys for kind of digging into those numbers. Very exciting. I'm glad that they're doing well. Although they've still got a long road ahead as far as getting that, the excitement and the, you know, they're obviously never going to reach the success of the Wii, but they're doing really awesome, and I'm loving all the games they've got so far. So moving into our second story of the day, goodbye, Club Nintendo.
I will remember you. I'm Sarah McLachlan, you're welcome.
I wish, man, you should have given me a little bit of advance warning. I would have had that ready for us.
You would have queued up your Sarah McLachlan on your soundboard? Is that what you're queuing up there?
Remember me. No, totally. Yeah,
so Club Nintendo. This was funny, the Club Nintendo.
Yeah,
I had a good laugh at this. I had, like a good club or a good Nintendo fan. Early in the morning yesterday, I got up and went to refresh my browser to see what joyous gift Nintendo was going to give me for the month of January that I could spend my illustrious 300 coin on. Only to find a banner.
Assist letter.
That said, basically, go away, Nintendo Club Nintendo, go home, you're drunk. And quickly discovered that it was being discontinued, and I shot off a text to you guys bright and early that morning. This, I don't want to say this came as a surprise, but a little bit of a surprise. Like, this, you know,
We've seen the signs for a while now that Club Nintendo was progressively getting worse and worse, right? Like,
oh, it sure.
It used to be like, man, check out this awesome premium statuette of the Mario crew if you've gained platinum, and look at all these amazing physical rewards. It reminded me of being a kid and having the Kool-Aid Club where you save the packets of Kool-Aid and you send them away for the little jug, right? Yeah, Jesse, you've got that the Mario statue, right?
Like, premium.
And it was awesome. And then, like, yeah, the last couple of years, it was like, man.
There's like an inch and a half of dust on this thing. But yes, you know, and I've been platinum all 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as I mentioned before, I really crapped on Nintendo for last year's choices of prizes. Yeah,
and like going on with that as well, and I saw a funny sort of conversation with somebody on Twitter today talking about like, man, you know, yes, it was great market research for them to have all of those surveys, but at the same time, if people were like me when they filled out those surveys, they were not getting very good data. You know, they were not getting detailed data at the very least. Like, yes, I would try and be accurate when I was given like my, say it 7.5 out of 10 or whatever. But as far as like, so what would you say about this game? Like, regardless, every time, awesome, 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 loved it, you know, maybe, you know, and so like,
dot, dot, dot.
Exactly, right? Like any, that sort of market, as time went on, they basically were training people to fill out surveys for the sake of filling them out, and they weren't giving them good information anyways. But I also think that it had become unsustainable to continue to give out, you know, tons and tons of physical merchandise for literally $0. They were probably taking quite a big hit on it. And so if you go on the store right now, you can get the 18 card game case, I think, is still available on the store. Those things are awesome. I have three of those now, and they're awesome. So
I have one. I'll probably get another one if I still have coins for it.
Yeah, they're pretty amazing to have, you know, all of your games in there. If you're going for the physical copies. Justin, I know you said you were thinking of going all digital when you get your new 3DS, right? So
yeah.
So yeah, it's maybe not necessarily something you want to look into, but basically what they've told us is, shoot, I need to have this in front of me. I'll pull it up. But basically, what is our sort of timeline looking like for this, guys?
Well, the cease and desist letter was essentially given out yesterday. They still did pop a couple of games into the store for you to spend your good hard coinage on.
More's coming.
Yeah, and that was exactly they said like, hey, here's a deal. You've got a timeline to spend these and to use them. In February, we're going to give you more eShop downloads for you to get, like more options for you. Going forward, any product sold as of
yesterday,
bought as of yesterday, will not.
If the game was released yesterday,
yeah, released. Thank you. No released coins. Yesterday.
Yeah,
yeah, worth no coins.
So if you got like Mario Galaxy 2. If you bought Mario Galaxy 2 today, you can still get coins for it.
Okay.
But if you buy Punch-Out today, no coins.
Right. No coins for you.
No coins.
Yeah, totally. So as of that, and then as of March 31st, nobody will be earning coins after that date. So you have between now and the end of March to get all your coin, register all of your stuff, go to your collection of game cases and dig out all of those little red cards and punch in all those numbers before March 31st.
Which also means March 31st is the last day to get elite status, where normally we've had until the end of June.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm glad I'm already platinum, so I don't have to worry about it. But I know a lot of people are like, crap, I only have 350.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that you've got between now and then. Also as well, I've seen some people talking about how they were, you know, to what you were saying before, Justin, about in February they're going to be adding more stuff. It seems to me like what they're doing is they're going to add a wide variety, from what they've said, a wide variety of games that you can use to spend your coins, and you'll be able to get games for it. Some people seem to think they're going to have some big blowout of physical merchandise, and I think the wording they use is they will have select physical merchandise, which to me says they're not going to be doing too much more for that, but, you know,
no.
I would wait, maybe save your coins to see if there's anything physical going up, and then from there you get your selection of digital games. So,
yeah, I was having a conversation on Twitter yesterday with Vinny Bravio, and we were kind of making the comment that he was really holding out for and hoping for a barrage of physical items near the end, and my statement was, you know, you would think that you almost have to do a fire sale, right? Everything has to go.
Right. So, but I wonder what stuff would they put up there that is not already on the store? I don't know what else they have.
Yeah, I can't imagine it's going to be anything that's not already in existence.
They'll probably might do is lower the coin count cost.
Yes.
So that poster set for 400 coins might go for 150.
Yeah,
I think that's exactly it. They're going to lower the cost because if you look at the eShop currently, right? Or sorry, the eShop. My apologies. The games, you know, they're 250 or 200, 300 coins. You know, if I have 300 coins and I spend 200, I have 100 remaining, right? So I feel like I'm losing something.
There's that one game for 80 coins.
Yeah, thank you. Grill off with Ultra Hand. Thank you. I'm really excited for that one, Jesse.
I actually bought that, and it is just stupid.
Yeah.
It was ridiculously stupid. It's something that you have to try once, but you'll never go back to it again.
I'll just look up a YouTube video and be good with it.
So
No. You've got to. You have to be holding those remotes and doing the motions. It's just that's not the same. Just you have to do it yourself.
Now, a couple other things that I think – so I wouldn't be shocked to Jesse's point if we see the price of the current items in there reduce. I will be interested to see what they put in there. So I'm not spending my coins yet. I'm waiting a little bit. A couple of things we just need to make sure people are aware of regarding kind of – Jesse, you mentioned elite status. Typically in July or beginning of July is when you get to find out what your reward offering is. In this actual release, they actually mentioned that – your free elite status gift will be available between April 1st and April 30th of 2015. A list of the elite. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, have they already specifically said, yeah, it will be a free game, right? So don't be getting excited about some blowout physical redemption thing. No, it's going to be a digital game.
They said it'll be a free game, and they actually said, we will update this page, which is the exact page from last year. Still has last year's data on it, and with that information. And I have that link in my article.
Yeah. So the line reads, members who reach elite status will be able to choose a downloadable game from a wide selection of Nintendo 3DS and Wii U titles. So yes, it's going to be a game already. Yeah. And again, the elite status is concerned if you have earned 300 coins, which is gold, or 600 coins, which is platinum. We have seen traditionally that those tiers of like, if you get gold, you can choose from 5 games. If you get platinum, you can choose from 10 games. That's typically how those kind of, you know.
So they'll probably, my guess is they'll just double the choices.
So given all of this then, guys, so we see a folding up. By the way, Nintendo Club or Club Nintendo members in February as well will be getting a free download code for Flipnote Studio 3D, which we've been waiting for a long time. That will be coming as well, although it seems to have, when it was originally announced, they announced a bunch of online stuff after the whole Swapnote child predator debacle that happened I think a couple of years ago. All of the online sharing stuff has been stripped out of it. It's local sharing only, which again, going back to your YouTube, going back to your YouTube comment, you know, that we talked about earlier, Justin, it's really too bad that the Flipnote Studio 3D won't have any YouTube sharing either, which is really unfortunate. But that is coming. But my question is, sorry, were you going to say something before we,
yeah, like even that's a bit of a slap. Okay. So, Maybe because I'm living in a world where I don't own a 3DS currently. Well, I don't own a 3DS, so I own a Wii U. What are you going to give me for that?
I think you'll probably... Yeah, that's true.
You'll have a 3DS by the time it comes out.
Yeah, sure. By the time it comes out. But listen, devil's advocate, all right? Under normal situations, though, I wouldn't have that.
Here's my job.
Yeah, no, that's a great point.
Because I just clicked on the link, and they're like, it applies to 3DS, 3DS XL, 2DS, and Club Nintendo.
Yeah, so I mean, hopefully you get a code if it's like, you know, if they're handing out codes February 1st and you don't have a 3DS registered to your account, how does that go down?
Yeah.
Hope you get them. You sure didn't get the Monster Hunter codes earlier, right?
Well, and this is exactly it. If I register, like, I can't register my product now. They won't know.
Like, you probably still can, like, but you just won't get coins for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the deal, Justin. Maybe. In this situation for you, like, something to keep in, like, I have not registered my son's 2DS yet on my account, I don't think.
Yeah.
If that's the case, we'll figure it out. Like,
I'm not worried about the game part, the actual getting the game part of it. Like, I'm
I know
really
you were going to make really
that.
Cool animations on there, and I really wanted to see them.
But the crutch of my question here is, like, you're rewarding people. You're saying, like, hey, we're taking these things away. We want to give you a 3D, you know, this code. But if you're not a 3DS owner, that doesn't really hold water.
Then you don't. Yeah, no, that's totally true.
Like, and I think if you're going to do something, just make it generic enough of, like, hey, we apologize. You get something else as well. I just think that just feels like a bit of a weird move there. So
no, that makes total sense.
I think everyone who makes platinum status has both. I don't think you can make platinum status with only one system.
Oh, no, yes, you can, sir. Yes,
you just can. Have to be dedicated.
You guys have to buy a lot of stuff.
I have to buy every several years, sir. I thank you.
but going on.
Because I've had a DS since it launched. I've had a Wii since almost it launched. So, you know, I've had both of those things going for me, which is how I got platinum mm-hmm. seven times over.
So, Justin, we see Club Nintendo going by the wayside. We have promises of a loyalty program to be announced soon. What do you think this looks like with Club Nintendo 2.0? What is their new loyalty program going to look like, do you think?
Oh, yeah, and that's exactly it, Zach. There's that line that you're pulling out there. About third paragraph in, they said, we will be sharing details about our new program at a later date.
You know what that says to me is E3.
Yeah, oh, exactly. I do 100% believe that it will be an E3 announcement of what that looks like. And I think even when you look at the end date of this, of the last time that any of the coins can be redeemed is June 30th, 2015 at 11:59. I think it's an easy segue into in 3 weeks from now, we're rolling out. Here's the new system. Here's how it works. What does it look like exactly? That's a challenge. I don't know. I think we saw with Tipping Star this idea of cross-platform purchasing. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to create a system which is much more tied to your Nintendo Network ID.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause right now you've got a Club Nintendo login and a Nintendo Network login, and they're separate. And that was one thing they either needed to merge the accounts or just burn the mother down for one of them. And they've just chosen to just burn down Club Nintendo.
I think they're going to merge those two things together, and I think it is going to be there's a couple things I'm thinking. I think we might see an actual subscription-based yearly service by which you pay $30, almost like a PlayStation Plus system.
Hey, there you go. I like that idea.
Where you get, you know, as long as you're paying it, you can download it, and you can download it on whatever platform you want it to be on, presuming it's cross-play or allowable on each. So if I want to play, you know, if I want Super Mario, I can get it for my Wii U and my 3DS, no issues.
So maybe Club Nintendo is actually, you're thinking that maybe Club Nintendo was something that was holding them back from that unified account system.
Yeah, I think so, because the IDs became a little bit separate and you couldn't track necessarily as much information as maybe you wanted to.
They were even relying on Club Nintendo for a purchase history for quite a while, right?
Correct, yeah. And I think the other side of that we might see is I think we might see almost like the digital promotion program, where you spend X amount of money on Nintendo products, you get a portion of that money back to spend on Nintendo products.
I think that's a great idea.
So because here's the deal.
I like that idea, and I'm hoping it also extends to 3DS purchases, not just Wii U's.
Yeah, no, yeah, and sorry, when I'm saying this, Jesse, I should clarify, I mean that across the board, 3DS, Wii U, it's all under the one network ID.
Right.
So that it doesn't matter where it is.
I mean, really...
If I have my 300 coin, if you could say, Justin, here's 10 bucks to the eShop, as opposed to pick either Metroid or Excitebike, I'll take the 10 bucks because I'll go out and buy something like, you know, Pushmo, or I'll go out and buy Shovel Knight or any of these great games that are currently offering.
And as I said last year in my article, I didn't like the list of games that I had to choose from because, one, I either already owned it because I earned the points to get this far, or two, I didn't want it. There was some reason why I actively avoided it.
Mm-hmm. If I haven't bought it by now, then there's a reason I didn't buy it.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
So there wasn't a single game in there I really wanted. I picked one just for the sake of picking one, but I never even touched it.
Yeah. And I think that by all accounts, the digital deluxe promotion for the Wii U was, you know, probably it was a good sort of gamble for the early adopters. It was a good way to reward them, and it was also their way of kind of experimenting. I mean, like, okay, well, let's see how this sort of system works. And if they basically just roll that into, you know, Club Nintendo 2.0 is basically just the digital deluxe program across the board, and that's just how things go from now on, I think that's a great idea. I think that would be awesome. So, very cool. Awesome. Anybody else? Anything else that you guys want to add to that before we move on to our new to you, or our, I guess Retro Rewind as we're calling it now?
I am literally filling out a Nintendo Club Nintendo survey right now for a game I haven't played, but I'm just getting coins for it.
Nice. And the quality market research. You are a part of the problem why it is going away.
And I wanted to add,
I am somewhat satisfied with guacamole.
I wanted to add, because I don't think we touched on it, June 30th, you know, March, yeah, we said March 31st is the last day to earn new coins. June 30th is the last day to spend the coins. July 1st, the coins are gone, the accounts are gone.
I love how, by the way, at the end of that entire thing, the very last question is, do I need to cancel my membership? And the answer is no, it will be canceled.
Thank you, fact.
It's like, really? Who was worried about canceling their Club Nintendo membership? Man, I really hope that they don't continue.
Could you also cancel my Columbia House CDs?
No, you're in those for life. My apologies.
So that's what this stack of CDs in the corner is for.
They just keep showing up.
Yeah.
I don't know who's paying for it, but it's not me.
Nice. All right, very cool. Well, let's move on to Retro Rewind to wrap up our show here. Oh, man. Every week
that's
I still...
That's so loud at the end.
Wow.
I still have not cropped that. I think that Smooth. Will just be... Anyways, all right, Retro Rewind. Justin, you said you've got something for us today.
Yeah, so I am busting out, or I am currently playing, in preparation for Mario vs. Donkey Kong Tipping Star, which we saw on the Nintendo Direct recently. I busted out from my... DS collection, Mario vs. Donkey Kong March of the Minis, which was a 2010 release, I believe, or 2009, for my DS Lite that I have. And I am loving this game. It's a great game where Donkey Kong has stolen our female character, and it's not Princess Peach or Rosaline. I can't remember what her name is, but Pauline, thank you very kindly. And you
it's Faye Ray.
You have these little robotic Marios, like wind up Mario toys, that you have to get through the entire level to your door at the end. And what you do is you use your stylus and you put down steel graders for them to walk over, and then you remove the steel graders and you place them somewhere else for them to walk to these tiles, to either get like letters or coins, or also get to the actual door that they're at to finish the level. It's really fun. The DS does a great job of using both the bottom screen to create that full dimension of the scenario, and at the end of level three of level stage three or level three stage five, you have to fight Donkey Kong, and what you have to do is you have to get your little minis to go to the very top and drop barrels or launch fireballs at Donkey Kong by pressing these buttons or switches. It's a really great game to play, easy to pick up. I liked it because, it's a bit of a thinking puzzling game, because you have to figure out where you're putting the steel graders, how to get the minis across safely, how they don't die. How they react, to kind of falling off and the paths they make. It's one of those games, we made the statement of like, hey, I'm in line at a bank and I have to wait here for 10 minutes. What do I do? You can pull this out of your pocket and play for 5-10 minutes, complete a couple levels, feel like you've completed something, put it away, put it back in your pocket. I also find it's a really good game that I could probably bring out and play with my children together. I could probably give this to my 6-year-old and say, here's the objectives and work through it. And again, I think that, the touch stylus of the controller does a really great job of, I'm going to draw where my steel pillar is going to go. I thought it was really, really cool. Lots of fun. Not super complicated. Very easy controls. I just keep going back and playing it for last week. And I just really, it's got me hooked. It's actually got me hooked to a point where I'm almost bringing my DS Lite, out to work. And I'm doing it in the cafe.
Nice.
And then people are like, what is that? Is that a Game Boy? No, go away. It's DS Lite.
Game Boy, what do you think this is?
Yeah.
1991.
So I would highly recommend it if you get a chance. Great game. And it feels like I'm getting prepared for Donkey Kong versus or Mario versus Donkey Kong Tipping Stars. And it also has a level maker in it where I can create little levels and share them. Yeah. I don't know how much it works, though, because it requires internet connectivity. I don't think Nintendo still has the DS server still up, And I don't know how many people around the world are you playing this game.
I think that's part of the Wi-Fi Connect service that was taken down last May.
Yeah, yeah. So, but even without that Wi-Fi Connect service, it's still really, really cool. So I definitely recommend giving it a go.
Right on, man. Very cool. I've played a couple of the in that series. It was what was the one that came out like last year or the year before that? Minis on the Move, I guess. That was more of the. It was a little bit different style of gameplay. But man, I love that game. I love that. That's a great series. I'm looking forward to Tipping Stars. Actually, the more I think,
I didn't like the most recent one, but I did play the DSi version that launched several years ago, which is pretty much a stripped down version of the DS cart you played.
Right.
Yeah. It was so cool. So cool. I'm excited for it.
Very awesome. All right. Well, let's move into our final here with some interaction with our listeners.
Yeah. So. So this I always love that music, by the way, Zach. It's a great selection. And as maybe I'm playing with this question, Zach, where did we get that from?
That is from Mother 3. That is the fanfare for the last chapter of Mother 3.
Nice, I love it. So we have kind of pulling into our fans and email interaction section. This week, Tyler Hall on our Nintendo Dad's Facebook page asked the following question. Can you guys sell me on the new 3DS? I heard on episode number 10 that everyone seemed to be getting one. Is there an episode you talk about it, about why? Maybe next episode. Thanks. So yeah, Tyler, let's actually take a moment and quickly go around the circle and talk about why we're getting the new 3DS. I don't know. Zach, maybe you want to start. Why are you buying the new 3DS? What's selling you on upgrading? Because what's your current DS situation?
My current 3DS situation is this guy here for the listeners. I've got the XL right now, the 3DS XL. I've had this thing for quite a while. Honestly, you really need to look at it, and I don't necessarily feel entirely that we need to talk somebody into doing it. It may not make sense for you right now. If you have a 3DS right now already, then depending on the features that are brought in by the new 3DS XL, you might not need to. You might not feel the need. The big draw for me is the Amiibo support, which I know eventually we're going to get the little puck or whatever that's going to be able to let you use Amiibo with your current 3DS from the older models. But that is a big draw for me, especially with Codename Steam coming up and all those sorts of things. I've bought in pretty heavy with Amiibo, and so that's a big one. The added sort of increase in hardware for boot up times and things like that is a big appeal. And the face tracking 3D, I'm a huge user of 3D. It's no secret now. That's another big draw. So those are the big ones for me. And also just the sort of crazy early adopter mentality that's like, it's the new shiny. And so that's also another big part of it. Like, oh man, that's the new one. Sounds awesome. I really want to get the new one. Right. There's something about that too, but those are the big things for me. And again, there aren't a lot of games right now that are going to be using the new 3DS functionality exactly, but it's coming. And the same thing could have been said when the Wii U came out. Like, man, there's sure not a lot of games on the Wii U right now, but a lot of times being a Nintendo early adopter, it's specifically involves the promise of what's coming. And I think that being ready for what's coming is another big reason why I am picking it up right away. So,
cool. Yeah, and I think, you know, Zach, I think the statement that you're making there, and I want to agree with you very very beginning is, yeah, we're this, you know, everyone's situation is different for why they're picking up a 3DS. So let that more be the deciding factor for you than kind of, you know, we have to sell you on what's the best thing about it. At this current time in kind of all of our lives or gaming lives, it makes sense for the purchase, and we all have varying reasons for it.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesse, what are your reasons for picking up the new 3DS?
Yeah, Zach hit on a number of them. Initially, when I first heard about it, the launch in Japan, I wasn't interested. I'm like, my 3DS XL is a little over a year old. I'm happy with it. I'm not interested in updating. But what sold me was Game Explain. I think I've even mentioned this before. Game Explain did a side-by-side comparison between, you know, booting the new system and the old system up, going into eShop, and there was the launch time was less than half, and then downloading Smash Brothers off of their eShop, and the new 3DS had the game a third to a half downloaded before the original one even started. So the download times is improved. And then just, you know, the enhanced menu speed, processor speeds, you know, sold me. And I'm a big 3D user as well, and I completely forgot about the face tracking enhancements until last week's Direct. Mm-hmm. But all of them, and I don't own any games that use the Circle Pad Pro, so that the use of that C stick really isn't that big for me. Another thing that is interesting to me is I've always wanted to try to replay Xenoblade, and I figured if once I get Xenoblade on the handheld, I'll have more chances to get through it versus having to sit in front of a TV for 80 hours. Mm-hmm. And the Xenoblade 3D remake will only work on the new system.
Yep. And I think something really important too for, and this is more of just like a life philosophy, not to be that sort of over exaggerating with it, but anytime you're purchasing hardware, and this goes for anything, whether you're buying a laptop or a new TV or something like that, it seems that there are times when you can afford it and that it's a good investment for the future. And there are times where you're like, I'm probably not going to have this money 6 months from now, but I can afford to do it today. And so looking at and planning that sort of purchase as well, is another sort of factor for me on why, like, right now it makes sense. We've got a little bit more, but I may be going back to school in the fall and I might not be able to afford it then. And so, that sort of a situation is also something to consider. So, anyway, how about you, yeah, Justin? I mean, I know you don't have a 3DS currently, so I mean, it just made sense for you. You've been waiting around, right?
Yeah. Well, that's exactly it, right? So I have, as I mentioned a couple moments ago, I have a DS Lite. So this isn't even the DSi. I got it for Christmas either 2009, I think. If the term early adopter is technology just came out and you got on the bandwagon and you're give it a go, which is what I've done with my Wii and my Wii U. On the DS side, I was like the late adopter. Like the DS was kind of, you know, like you buy a new piece of hardware or something, you go home, you unpack it, and then like you turn the TV and there's a commercial for like the new thing. And it's like, hey, the DSi Lite is out. And you're like, what? How did that just happen? Yeah. That was how it felt here. So I was on the back end of the DS Lite cycle.
So you wait until it's the mass market versus early adopter.
In the DS case, I didn't really feel like the need, and I actually got it for a Christmas present. It was completely surprising. I wouldn't have spent it on myself, but somebody did, and I was shocked, and so I bought into the world and loved it. So for me, yeah, the reason that I'm going to DS, 3DS now, and I'll kind of take this step back. 6 months ago, I just about bought a DS at that point, for a couple of reasons. The primary being, and Zach, you know, you were mentioning about the games to come. For me, it's the games that have come and I haven't played yet. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you know, when I've been talking with you guys about what I'm excited about to play for my 3DS, they're all games that aren't like in the lineup in the next 3 months or 6 months. They're the lineup that was 2 years ago. You know, games like Luigi's Mansion, Dark Moon, or Luigi's Mansion, A Link Between Worlds. You know, these are games that I haven't played and I really want to play, but I need a 3DS just to play them. Mm-hmm. So I'm just excited to even see the back catalog plus what Nintendo has in their future catalog going up. I had, like I said, just about bought one about 6 months ago, late September, early October. But that was when I actually heard about Japan's 3DS announcement and changes there. So I knew that it was coming to North America. So I just held off and waited. So for me, and especially I think in what this group of individuals does, which is review, you know, what Nintendo is doing, the home console is doing, plus a portable console, for all of us to have equipment that we can do that on, it just makes our experience that we can share with you, the listeners, so much more robust. So for me, jumping in now makes sense. I also was kind of disappointed that during the year-end review, I was like, well, the 3DS spot, I'll just sit here and wait.
Mm-hmm.
frowny right. face.
Never again, he vowed at that moment. Yeah, totally.
So that's why we're jumping in. And again, Tyler, great question on Facebook, by the way. We love our fans' interactions and questions. But that's why we're jumping in. If it works for you, great. If it doesn't, I mean, if you just bought a 3DS within the last year, you're probably, you know, you're fine, right? But at this point, for all three of us, it just makes sense.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Couldn't agree more. So thanks again
our
for the question.
Our wives may not agree, but we agree.
Yeah, like, let's, and you know what? I think it would actually be really awesome. I think we've talked about this before, but like, getting our like wives on for a segment or something would be hysterical to just talk about what it's like to, I don't know if I want that to happen, but it's something. If that is, let us know.
That has the potential to be bad, but very entertaining.
On a very special final episode of Nintendo Dads.
I think any way you look at it, for what we do, for the amount of video game playing that we do, for the systems that we have to give love and thanks to our wives who we couldn't do these things without their support on anyways.
Very cool. Totally agree. So speaking of support, we have some awesome, last week was episode number 10, and in celebration, we are going to give away a $10 eShop card to one lucky winner who was left a comment on our Facebook page, Instagram, Twitter, you know, anybody who's been engaging with us over the past week. And we've actually had a lot more engagement over social media over the past week and it's been awesome. I love hearing from all of our fans and from all the listeners. So keep it up. It's been great hearing from you guys. And, you know, anytime that you've got any sort of discussion or question or anything like that, I think I speak for all of us that we're excited and ready to you know, answer back and have good discussions on there. So thanks and keep it up. So Justin, why don't you lead the way here?
Yeah, so we had a lot of names entered into our draw. I'm going to show you all the little tags we've got here. I put this in a very formal device to extract a name from. It's a New England Patriot hat.
Very cool. Here, I'm going to play a little bit of a thing here. So you draw the name, and we will go.
All right. Here we go. Let's see. All right. We're drawing a name for a $10 eShop gift card. And this is going to P. Dudley 9 on Instagram, who said that they would purchase a retro NES or they renew their PokeBank. So
right
on Instagram. Thank you very much for contacting us. There was a lot, you know, I want to say this right now. There were a lot of really great entries that came in. We saw a couple I want to give shouts out to. We saw a couple for like Metroid Prime Trilogy. We saw Mega Man's. So guys, thanks very much for entering in. And we intend to do more draws throughout our podcast and giving away more stuff actually as well. So we will contact P. Dudley on Instagram to get you your code. So congratulations.
Absolutely. Congratulations.
I completely forgot that the Pokemon Bank was a thing.
Yeah, man. That's definitely still, what is it, $5 a year or something like that to transfer your dudes over now. It's pretty crazy, but also, yeah, awesome. So congratulations as well. We were lucky enough to get some Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate 3DS demo codes today, and we figured we'd give some of them away. And also thank you to Tom Conquergood on Twitter, who gave us a code to give away as well. And what actually happened is that most people got codes in the email the same day we did, so we didn't get a lot of people who were looking for them. So I'm assuming these two names in the doc here are who are lucky winners, right?
So yeah, that's correct. We're sending a tweet today.
Yeah, so we have Blue Note and Matt Reichenbach, I think is maybe how you say that. If not, then feel free to chastise me on Twitter. But congratulations to both of you for winning codes. And again, we will be getting a hold of you after the show today to let you know that you've won. So congratulations. And thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. We're so grateful for all of the support and feedback that we get from everybody. And this is not the last time that we will have this sort of extravaganza giveaway as well. So
you like that term now, don't
I
you?
Do. I, you know what? It's just so absurd and fun to listen to. So let's get our outro music here going. And Justin, what is the way that the people can interact with us and be a part of the show?
Yeah, so great question, Zach. The way that our fans can interact with us, and again, we love to hear from them, is they do a couple things. They can follow us on Twitter at Nintendo Dads. They can like our Facebook page, which is Nintendo Dads, all one words. All of the words together. You can also follow us on Instagram, Nintendo Dads. You can follow us on Google Plus, Nintendo Dads. You can email us directly at nintendodads@gmail.com. Now, Zach is playing some wonderful out music.
We're also on twitch.tv/nintendodads.
Yeah, Twitch right, as well, you, right? You can watch us live.
Yeah. Twitch, yeah, which some people are watching us live right now. I know we've had people in the chat room today. Thank you for being up with us. We appreciate it as well. Big thanks to OC Remix for the music that's played throughout the show that Zach is always our maestro of. Also, we got to give a big shout out and thanks to Carter Johnson, who's providing our amazing artwork that we love so much. Jesse is Tingle, Zach is Mario, and I'm the big DK monkey himself. You can check out her work at megacarter.tumblr.com. And you can subscribe to our podcast via iTunes and Stitcher. Check us out on VG Tribune, and we'd love for you to give us a review and a rating, 5-star rating in all those areas. It helps to get us more notice and to get our good message out there. Jesse, what do you got?
Oh,
I blanked out. I'm sorry, I missed your question.
No, that's good. I think as well to follow, feel free to follow me on Twitter at Zach Erickson. My Nintendo Network ID is Dorgon. How about you, Jesse?
Okay. Now I know what's going on. My Twitter
it's a long night. He's an hour ahead of us, folks.
Yeah. Cut it's almost slack. Midnight. At Laffer 2, LLAFFER number 2.
Right on. And Justin.
You can follow me at Masson23, both on Twitter and on the Nintendo Network ID.
All right, and thank you again, everybody. We're so grateful for all the new listeners. Keep spreading the word and giving the love. We love everybody so far, so thanks and keep it up. We'll see you next week, folks. Peace.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
That's a wrap, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Yay!
Oh. Hey, Jesse, what up?
Okay, hey. I had
fighting with every piece of equipment. Just decided to say "fuck you" today. So
wow, that's a good day.
That'll be a good. That'll be a good.
My mic is set up wrong. My camera says that I'm looks like the sun.
Yeah,
it is a touch of bright. I'm not gonna lie to you, sir.